Hello everyone. I'm holed up in my house above Pietrasanta, under lockdown like everybody, but with my lovely dog Rascal, and not quite knowing how to help or what to do, and to perhaps entertain a bit, I thought I would start something called the Desktop Decameron, in honour of course of Boccaccio and his Decameron, which he wrote about 13 young men and women in the 14th century, who told each other stories of love and death and tragedy and life and joy and tricksters and many things as the plague raged around Florence. Dionea was the leader, who some think was Boccaccio himself, and he alone was allowed to choose the subject of his daily tales. I'm only going to tell one story, and that's a children's book I wrote some time ago called Michelangelo's Mouse. For those most critical of readers, children, I'm afraid it's in English because my Italian isn't good enough, but perhaps one day someone will translate it. But anyway, this is just to have fun, and rather than blogging it, I'm of course going to read it because I don't think people read blogs like that. I don't have a Kindle. So I hope you enjoy it. Michelangelo's Mouse. Chapter 1. The Little Church at Popolo. It was nearly 500 years ago now, in the dusty, dreamy, drowsy village of Popolo, in a place called Tuscany, which is in the distant land of Italy, that a really miraculous thing happened. As the villagers went about their daily lives, which then, as now, didn't involve much at all except a lot of hard work in the fields, and lots of lazing about in the sunshine too, a rough cart suddenly pulled up in the old village square, just as the bell began to ring from the broken tower on the top of the little stone church. Dang, dong, ding, dang. An old man driving the cart mopped his heavy brow, took a swig of rough wine, and handing the bottle to his bright-faced assistant, jumped down into the dust. Then he strode up to the church, and on the old wooden doors splitting right down the middle, he pinned this sign: Closed for repairs. The man span round again and, walking back to the cart, threw back a tarpaulin. Heavens, what a fantastic sight! In the back were the most extraordinary things you have ever seen. There were strange oily bottles marked linseed and turpentine. There were paintbrushes made of fox and rabbit fur and long planks of wood and ladders and hammers and nails. Piled in the middle of the cart, though, were bulging cloth sacks, tied up with string with words like plaster and pigment on the sides. There were other words, too, on those strange cloth sacks. Such wonderful words. Words like ochre and aquamarine, magenta and vermilion, burnt umber and royal blue. Heavens, what a strange sight it was. The little village of Popolo had never seen anything quite like it. Did the villagers jump up and down for joy, though, or run up to the church and ring that bell again? No, I'll tell you what they did. Nothing at all. They took not the slightest bit of notice of the men and their extraordinary cart. They went on sitting there in the sunshine, with their eyes half closed, listening to the breeze whispering through the lazy Italian vines. Old Farmer Parmigiano went on drowsing on his bench, as he did every day just at this time. Mamma Formaggio quietly swept out her porch. The Ricotta twins chewed on still on bits of old straw, just shrugging their shoulders, as Signor Pecorino continued his siesta under the old portico. Did none of them get up and start to stroll, very slowly, of course, over to the doors of the little church, as the men pinned up their sign? Of course not. Well, it was very hot indeed, and in Italy nobody does anything much just after lunch. Besides, I'll let you in on a secret. There wouldn't have been very much point. You see, nobody in the drowsy village of Popolo knew how to read. Not Farmer Parmigiano, nor Mamma Formaggio, not Signor Pecorino, and certainly not the Ricotta twins. But wait a moment, that's not true. There was one person in all Popolo who not only knew how to read, but write as well. He was very old, walked with a stoop, had fluffy white hair, and his name was Father Angelico. This was a strange name because Father Angelico didn't have any children except the villagers of Popolo, who Father Angelico at least thought of as his children. Father Angelico was the village priest who looked after the stone church, where every day the villagers would gather to listen to his long and serious speeches. He was on his way there now in his black robe and sandals, kicking up the dust as he shuffled across the square. He stopped at the notice and, peering up to read the words, nodded his head, then turned to greet the men in their cart. Why did he shrug his shoulders, though, as he explained something to the strangers? Why did he open a little leather purse and, with a very grave face indeed, show them what was inside? As for the men on the cart, why did they shrug too and shake their heads gloomily? For the moment, let's leave this extraordinary scene, though, and all the sleepy people of Populo too. But where shall we go now? Right inside the little stone church, of course, for here, quite a different story had been going on.